Back together again, you and I, sitting down to usher in a brand new month, Thursday, February 1st, 2024, on Connecticut Today. We featured only in Bridgeport blogger Lenny Grimaldi's take on a fourth upcoming race between incumbent Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim and challenger John Gomes. Connecticut Inside investigator reporter Mark Fitch filled us in on the current right to read controversy in Connecticut. How many Rocky movies were there? Seven or eight, if you count Creed. Now we're going to get that high with Gomes Ganim. What are we, Gomes Ganim 4 now? Who's running in the street? Is that Joe Ganim or John Gomes? Yeah, you thought the Rocky franchise was good. No, it doesn't beat Joe Ganim versus John Gomes. Oh, the singers are there. There we go, all together. It's what I play when I can get out of bed in the morning. All right, so we're going to have Gomes v. Ganim round 4, just like we had Rocky 4. And Lenny Grimaldi is here. Lenny, hi, how are you?
Well, one thing's for sure.
Yeah.
The winner will have the initials JG.
JG.
JG. The winner of the next mayor will have the initials JG.
Oh, that's
JG.
Right. Yes. I'd forgotten about that.
Or Joe Ganim.
Yeah. There you go. Lenny, how are you? Are you surprised we're going to round 4 or not?
No. Ego.
Okay. All right.
Ego is dictating the round 4. Yes. So, no, I'm not surprised. John Gomes feels like he's got to play this thing out. You know, Mayor had a nice win last week. He got the monkey off his back by, winning the machine walk-in vote, as well as the absentee totals. But John Gomes wants to see this thing through, and we're going to go to the next round in, less than 4 weeks. So, let's get suited up and ready to go.
Yeah, and we listened to him yesterday, and I played portions of what both guys said. And Gomes, and you were there, Lenny, obviously. Gomes sounded very defiant. And the tone he took in the speech with his supporters there surrounding him, is something like, and you heard it too, well, they don't listen to us. And they emphasized, I remember, at certain moments in that speech, the word us, and we've got claims against the city. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's the problem with Gomes' campaign. It's a campaign that lives in the past. And he doesn't talk about the future. He has no real salient point. And I challenge the Gomes supporters all the time to come on my site. You tell me one thing that this candidate has said anything different that's going to give voters any kind of hope for the future. So let's go back a little bit of history. Mm-hmm. John Gomes worked for Bill Finch, Mayor Bill Finch, and Finch fired him. He ran for mayor. Joe Ganim fired him. Now he's running for mayor. Okay? And that's what his campaign is all about. It's a vengeance campaign, and that's really all it's about. Now, if Gomes had some kind of clarity about where he wants to bring the city that people could embrace, that would be something else. But he's got nothing else. And so as I wrote in my column today, he's going to need a wedge issue that's going to change the configuration of this race, because nothing's going to change it unless mm-hmm. something dramatic happens. And this has been the most, I've been covering the city, 40 plus years.
Yeah.
This is the most schizophrenic race of my lifetime, right?
You thought, Lenny, how many times did you say in the past 4 decades, that's it, I've seen it all, not going to happen again, and now you have this.
Right. And it's been so schizophrenic, nothing would surprise me if another kind of wrench was thrown into the works. There's some new wrinkle in this process, but we're down to, again, it's less than 4 weeks now, and Gomes' campaign, so after Gomes mm-hmm. lost the September primary and he had all that controversy, right, with the ballot stuffing and so on, Gomes had the wind at his back for the first general election.
Sure.
He really did.
Yeah.
And then Gannon managed to eke it out. And then, you know, the judge ordered a new primary for last week, January 23. Mm-hmm. And there was time in between for Gannon to define what this race was about. And the Gannon campaign did a nice job of redefining what this race is about. So what I thought was going to happen September actually happened last week. So now the breeze is at Joe Gannon's back now. That doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't, because it's all about voting. It's all about identifying people, getting them out. You're going to have a larger pool of voters be part of this process.
Yep.
Last week was all about Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
February 27th is going to be about 70,000 eligible voters. Maybe 20 to 25% will come out unaffiliated voters and Republicans. So, so now the work begins again in earnest to get back out there, do the mail pieces, do the contrast, identify your vote, and drag it back out for February 27th.
Is it helping, Lenny? And the guest, of course, is Lenny Grimaldi from onlyinbridgeport.com. Is it helping Joe Gannon, Lenny, that after the initial round one, which was primary number one, through round two and round three, there hasn't really been any allegations or whispering, or maybe I haven't seen or heard them, of anything kind of funky with the absentee ballots? Has that kind of – were rounds two and three, from what you heard, what you've gotten from talking to people, were they relatively clean with the ABs?
Yes. There was no complaint after the general election, right? That was
mm-hmm.
the second from the Gomes campaign.
Yeah.
And then in the third round, I wrote about it yesterday. So Gomes' lawyer, Bill Bloss, asked the court, and this was a provision that Judge Clark put in his decision about the new redo primary, either side could request a review of the absentee ballot.
Okay.
So that was done in conjunction with the monitors assigned by the state of Connecticut. And they found that of 2,000 absentee ballots cast, 14 were not counted.
Okay.
So those ballots will be counted probably early next week. It's not going to change the outcome. My sense is they'll probably lean more to Gannon than the Gomes. So, no, there hasn't been – I think the Gomes was hoping that something dramatic would come out of that review, but it really didn't. So he's going to have to manufacture something or something that we don't know that's out there would have to emerge as a new issue to really change this race. Or he's going to have to retool – Gomes will have to retool his messaging at this point. And we'll see if he's going to be able to do that, because he's really money challenged right now. And you know, it's like it's hard to go back to the well four times. You're talking about combined.
Oh, yeah.
It's spent over $1 million combined, and this is a record breaking for a mayoral election. And the mayor has to reload as well, but he's got the power of incumbency and he's got the breeze at his back, so it's easier for him to do it. So the Gomes campaign, not dismissive of an opportunity, but it's going to be very difficult.
Lenny, what about the cycle here now? When are the AB, the absentee ballot applications ready? Are we talking in a day or two, or what's the timeline for that?
Oh, rocking and rolling, baby. Just onward and going forward. The ABs are available now.
Oh, okay. All right.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So the absentee ballots are available. You know, I checked the login of the town clerk's office, and, you know, both sides are working in earnest the early vote, because again, you know, who knows what that weather's going to be like. Last week the weather was mine, right? And in fact, I was surprised by this. The redo primary outperformed the first primary.
About that.
So more people came out last week in the winter than came out September 12th.
Well, it's like I said, you know, I'm sure more people came out for Rocky 2 and Rocky 3, and now we'll have Rocky 4. So, you know.
It could very well be, and maybe 6, 7, or 8.
Lenny, Lenny, before we let you go, your old boss, Mr. Trump. Now, you know, a Quinnipiac poll came out yesterday, and the Quinnipiac sometimes has a reputation by what you read of oversampling Democrats. But having said that, a swing of female voters toward Joe Biden, the number is flipping here. You know, Lenny, I tend to hang around in some pretty conservative circles. What a shock. And I chat with a lot of people. Oh, it's over. It's over. And it's amazing, Lenny. And I've said this on the show. Never mind whether it's Donald Trump or Nikki Haley or whatever. Our system here in this country looks at a guy who won 52% of a low turnout caucus state and then won 54% of another state, and it's being framed like that was a blowout. It's interesting to me, knowing him as you do, and for the years you worked with him. Do you think he's in any way worried about this, or does he think, ah, this is done, I've got this locked up?
I think he's worried about the support.
Really?
He's worried about the Supremes, because that's the thing that could stop him bang in his tracks. I'm going to hear arguments, I believe, next week on this insurrectionist clause. So that's the thing he's going to be worried about, because, you know, Scalia, and I've been reading about Scalia, he wrote a decision about this, the insurrectionist clause, maybe about 10 years ago,
okay,
where he decided it applies to the president of the United States. And Trump's lawyer is saying it doesn't apply to me. It applies to officers. That's where they use the word officers. Well, you know, the other side is going to say the president of the United States is the chief executive officer of the United States, right? So you've got to figure that the three liberals are going to vote against Trump.
Okay.
I'm going to think that Supreme Court, the Chief Justice Roberts, may as well, possibly, based on his past votes. Now you've got to pick off one. Now you've got to just pick off one more, if that happens. I'm not saying it's going to materialize that way, but these arguments that are going to start next week before the Supremes, this is huge stuff. I think that's the thing that he's probably worried about most right now, even though he appointed three of them, right?
Yeah.
So if you go with the three liberals voting against him and then you take Chief Justice, that's four.
You need one.
And now you need one.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing that's going to be weighing him. And that's why, for me, you know, this race is about just hanging around, right?
Yeah.
And just hanging around. And if his chief opponent does that and this thing happens, you know, she's got a shot. So.
Yeah, we'll have to watch. Interesting stuff. Lenny Grimaldi, the website, of course, check it out, only in Bridgeport.com. Lenny, thanks. Always good to hear from you. Have a great weekend, and we'll chat in a week. Thank you, sir.
Okay. See you.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Yep. There you go. So, yeah, I mean, Lenny's right. And again, that would disqualify Mr. Trump from the primary ballots. Now, would people be able to write him in? Who knows? Who knows? But he's right. You do have three progressives, three liberals on the court. John Roberts has been known to vacillate each way. So then who do you get? Do you get Gorsuch? Do you get Clarence Thomas? Do you get, John Roberts? I mean, who do you get? Not John Roberts. I'm sorry. One of the ones I can't remember. All right. Coming up about 2 hours from now, we'll get the inside of Lenny Grimaldi, only in Bridgeport.com. Another round four coming up. How about that, huh? Mayor Ganim versus John Gomes. It's now surpassed Ali Frazier. That was only rounds 1, 2, and 3. Now we're getting round 4. Now I guess we're into the space of what, the Rocky line of movies? Maybe we've passed one trilogy of the Star Wars movies. So Talk about that and more with Lenny coming up. A lot more to go locally and national topics, too. Open phones as well. First, though, our buddy, our pal Mark Fitch is here. We haven't spoken to him in a while. InsideInvestigator.org, the Connecticut Inside Investigator. Interesting story to chat about here. Mark, it's Paul. Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year, Paul. I'm doing pretty well, and thank you for having me on.
Well, great to have you on to start off 2024. The right to read controversy here in the state. Now, folks may have seen this or heard people talking about this or popping up. What are we talking about here? First of all, Mark, what is right to read and what's the controversy here?
So right to read was legislation passed in 2021 in the budget implementer. Basically what it says is that children grades kindergarten through three, the state wanted to establish a set reading curriculum. They found that 19,000 third graders in the state were not at a proficient reading level by grade three, and that can really impact their future education. So the legislature basically set up a reading council and a whole new section, division of the Department of Education to oversee this. You know, basically it's like, here is, these are the curriculum that are based on the science of reading, which is this decades long, thing, to figure out the best way to teach reading. And, all the districts have to adhere to the science of reading curriculum. And where the controversy comes in is that a lot of districts were like, oh, hey, well, we have a pretty good reading program here. We have really good scores, and we don't think we should have to change our curriculum. Well, the Department of Education set up a waiver process. So if your school was doing pretty good and they submitted all their reading teaching materials to the State Department of Education, they could potentially get a waiver and not have to change their curriculum.
All right.
That didn't really work out too well in most cases. About 75% of the waivers that were submitted to the Department of Education were rejected either partially or fully, meaning that those districts had to go back and kind of redo everything and come up with a new reading curriculum based on the nine or so programs that the Department of Education had put out there. This all cost money, this all cost time, and a lot of districts had spent years putting together their reading programs, pulling a little bit from here, a little bit from there, till they got what they thought was the best mix. Now they're being told it's not good enough, and they are upset.
Are they being told, Mark, it's not good enough, even as they present scores and test results that are showing that it might be good enough? Is there a disconnect here or not between the evidence they're giving as far as the test scores, where the rubber meets the road, versus the materials and lessons and learning plans they're using?
Well, there is a disconnect. Basically, the school's performance doesn't matter. That's not included as part of the criteria that is evaluated by the Department of Education and their consultant that they hired. Is this company called Public Consulting Group.
Yeah.
In my article, I interview the superintendent of Cheshire, and they have the seventh highest, the seventh best performing school when it comes to reading. He has only, he says, 19 students that are below reading proficiency, and that includes special ed students. So when they were rejected, he was obviously upset. It was just like, why are we being rejected? We have some of the best scores in the state. The scores don't matter. Basically, it's you either have the materials, the curriculum that we have put forth, or you don't. And if you don't, you have to go back and redo it. And this is getting, what's kind of interesting about this this issue is that it's across the political spectrum.
Yeah.
There are Republicans upset with it. There are Democrats upset with it. There are, I interviewed members of the Reading Implementation Leadership Council. These were people appointed by lawmakers to help facilitate this process. They're volunteers. They work in conjunction with the State Department of Education.
Okay.
And those members of that council are upset about it because they feel like they weren't kept up to date on changes that were being made to the program. They were caught by surprise. It seems like there was a little bit of a communication breakdown. And so this is kind of across, you know, the political spectrum. You know, you have Democrat representatives from, you know, high-performing, wealthy towns like Wilton and New Canaan that are going back to the Department of Education being like, why are my districts being rejected for this? Why do we have to go back and redo our reading program? So it's an interesting subject and one that's kind of not going away anytime soon.
Okay, so Mark Fitch, and by the way, the guest is Mark Fitch from the Connecticut Inside Investigator. Go to the website, insideinvestigator.org. Fascinating thing unfolding here, controversy over the right-to-read curriculum in the state. And as Mark said, you have districts and areas that are doing quite well score-wise and the number of pupils who are at the reading proficiency, but still they're being told that they've got to come up with some sort of new curriculum. Mark, if and or where does the governor come down on this? Is he pulling a Pontius Pilate here, washing his hands? Does he not have any say here? What is the pathway for these districts to complain, and who are they aiming their complaints at besides the state Board of Ed?
Well, I mean, I haven't heard the governor say anything about it. I didn't approach him necessarily for it because I was talking to the Department of Education. And so that's really where the complaints are going, is the Department of Education. And they've been doing a little pushback on their own. The Connecticut Mirror just had an article about their, you know, trying to go on a little myth-busting tour. But I think part of the issue is, you know, you have, you know, people in the Department of Education whose job is administration, right? And then you have the people on the ground, the superintendents and the teachers and everybody who actually have to do this day to day. And so I think there might be a disconnect there. I mean, even the teachers union, the Connecticut Education Association, is not particularly thrilled with this. You know, I think the way they put it is, you know, you're trying to replace some books thinking that that's going to get the job done, when what you really need are more, you know, teachers and paraeducators and tutors to, you know, get these kids up to snuff, especially after the COVID shutdown of schools where we saw, you know, scores kind of take a nosedive. So, yeah, there's a lot going on here. And, you know, everybody I talk to, they say, we think the intent of the law is good.
Sure.
And according to Fran Rabinowitz, she's the head of the Superintendents Association. She says, you know what, all the schools have bought into the science of reading. It's not like they're trying to push back against the pedagogy, but it's the way that it's being done.
Yeah.
These school districts don't feel like they're being given a fair shot, and that not all the information that they've submitted is properly being considered. And they're being sent home saying you have to redo your reading curriculum. And that is no cheap task. I mean, it's supposed to run between $750,000 to $1 million just for Wilton. So, it's something that will affect every school district in one way or another, some much more than others.
So in a sense here, Mark, they don't want – I mean, it sounds to me – like there is a little bit of an element here of uniformity, of control, and what they don't want, even though the results, as you say, may be good and may be within tolerance levels here, is it the State Board of Education and the folks behind this, they don't want any, I don't know what the word would be, freelancing, or they want it done because they think the uniformity in all of this with the materials and the methods will yield the best result?
Well, I mean, their argument is that we've got 19,000 students that are not at a proficient reading level at grade three. And so something has to be done about that. The legislative, you know, the law that came through that was passed by the General Assembly through the budget implementer said that this is what you're going to do. And so they are following the letter of the law, according to the Department of Education. So, I mean, traditionally, schools have put together their own curriculum. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's always been that's been the job of the boards of education in the state. There has been a little bit of mission creep on behalf of the state, though, as they, you know, start implementing new curriculum for a variety of different subjects. I think, you know, they've done climate change and
sure.
things like that. But with reading, you're talking about something that is like a fundamental, you know, schools have been doing this forever, and a fundamental faction of the what the schools do. So I think there's a lot more pushback regarding this because it's something that they've always done. It's not like, oh, you have to teach this new thing, here's your curriculum. It's like, you're going to start teaching what you've always been teaching in this different way because we said so.
All right, folks, check it out. Connecticut's Right to Read Curriculum Controversy, insideinvestigator.org is the website. And Mark Fitch, always gracious to join us. Mark, thanks. Take care, and we'll chat down the road, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Appreciate it. All right, folks, check it out. You know, you may have a son or a daughter involved here, kind of caught up in this, or a grandson or a granddaughter or a niece or a nephew. So the state passing a law a few years ago saying, hey, there needs to be some sort of uniformity in getting you reading scores and reading comprehension scores up from kindergarten to grade threes. They said about, 19 or 20,000 students in that particular cell are not reading up to speed as they should be. So again, Mark illustrating here that there are some, even some affluent cities and towns, Democrat and Republican on both sides, saying, hey, why should we have to spend the money and do what you tell us when our current reading scores and the numbers of kids who are actually reading at the proper grade level are actually pretty good? So that's interesting, huh? Isn't it?